and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day 165.
Wasn't that better than yesterday?
It's because I was here to remind you.
Yes, there was that. Johnny, that was yesterday's little debacle.
Johnny, the temperature has dropped today, so we're getting closer.
To what?
I said I've just seen his post in Slag and thought he'd bought a duo. He says it'll be a cold day in hell before I buy a Windows machine again. I'm saying the temperature has dropped.
It
so
has.
So it's getting closer to that day.
Yeah, I don't think it's dropped that much, Mike.
And he disappeared because they were doing a release last night and stuff happened.
Really? Stuff, things were happening?
Stuff always happens when you do a release, Johnny. Doesn't go smoothly, does it?
No, but it was all very, very, very badly planned, if you don't mind me saying. Because there was a new MacBytes, and that takes precedence over absolutely everything.
Didn't you tell them, Johnny? But yes, there's a new MacBytes.
You should have told them. Sorry, can't do a thing
do you
tonight.
Not have, do you not have a number two to take
steady
over
on.
From?
Steady on, Mike.
An assistant. Not that kind of number two.
You see, don't where's, say things that could be misconstrued.
Where's your filthy mind?
What can I say? It's been a busy day.
And?
You know when you've booked on a webinar and you don't get the link? Drives me mad. But well,
it's that like when you booked to speak on a webinar.
Oh yes, and you don't get the link.
And the host is in the wrong room.
That was a classic, wasn't it?
That happened to me a couple of weeks ago.
No, the thing is that this thing that I'm in, it's a group that I'm in, and you're supposed to get the link like 10 minutes before, but they never work on the principle that the link could be missing. You know, the mail could take longer to arrive, and before you know it, you're 20 minutes into the session before you've even got the link.
Johnny's listened to half of it and he's saving the other half.
What are you saving the
other
half for?
For the first night in his new room.
Oh,
he's going to christen the new bedroom with MacBytes.
That blank wall is crying out. It's crying out for some artwork. Maybe we should sneak in like the elves and the shoemaker while Jonathan's asleep, and I could paint a MacBytes mural on the wall. Be like Hilda Ogden's ducks. I bet Jonathan has no clue who Hilda Ogden is and what her ducks have got to
no,
do with
it.
No,
but I've got a photo of my dad with her.
Oh, there you go. That would work. That would work. Does Jonathan know who Hilda
Nothing
Ogden is?
Nothing to do with Corrie, by the way.
What, your father?
And Hilda Ogden.
Jean Alexander.
Yeah.
That was her name, Jean Alexander. No.
Which blank wall, the one opposite the stags? How many blank walls has he got?
I'm wondering about this now. How many you got? Good grief, we need to know about this.
What stags?
I have no idea. I'm sure Jonathan will apprise us.
Is this a pub?
No, he's probably got something else.
Oh, that's the nags,
there you go,
isn't it?
And there's the email coming in at that time. Duh, give me strength.
No, a couple of weeks ago, I did two Power BI sessions for a bunch of people in and I created two separate meetings in Outlook, and they all turned up using the same link as for session one. So I was sat on my own in session two, thinking,
"Hello."
I bet they've gone into session one's link, so I logged into session one, and there they all were. Oh, I do remember the stacks, I think. Yeah, I remember the clock. Let's have a look. Opening in Slack.
I love it when stuff
comes in. Oh, no, I didn't see that, because that's from a wide angle. That looks great, Johnny.
Right,
much better since that than I last saw it. I never saw the finished one.
Why isn't the chat coming in properly for me? No, now it is, I think.
Oh, the subtle art of not giving a beep.
Oh, wow, that's big. Right, let me have a look.
What's
have
big?
A look. 200 centimetres by 140.
Oh. He's got a bear. Does Graham know he's got a bear?
Might have come from Graham. You never know.
Yeah, I like that, Johnny. Looks great.
All right, let me have a look.
You've done a good job there, mate. Says me, knowing nothing about painting.
You've watched me do it.
But it looks good.
That looks amazing.
Yeah.
Let me get a closer look. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That looks stunning.
Yeah, well done, Johnny.
Round of applause for Jonathan. And new bedding. Notice that?
Yeah.
New bedding. You do realise this puts us to shame, don't you?
Does it?
Mm. Yeah. And it's a holiday next week, so you know what that means. DIY.
Oh, the stags are new, so I hadn't seen them.
There's no room, though, now for MacBite's artwork. Unless we're going on this opposite wall where you can see it, where you wake up to it. I trust that artwork's attached firmly to the wall, given that you're sleeping underneath it. Which reminds me of my dad's DIY. Best ignored, my father's DIY.
Can't be asked to get the brush out again. I don't blame you, Johnny.
It's a horrible job, isn't it? But that looks, it looks much bigger. It's huge. We're all impressed. Right, let me say hello to everybody. All right, now I can see everybody. Hello, Kim. Hello, Debbie. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Paul.
Flat
hello,
Stanley.
Simon and Tracy.
That takes me back, Simon.
CQ, Deb, CQ. We have a user with CQ now.
Well, Better Lane had never read that book.
What?
Beneath You.
What book?
Flat Stanley.
I've no idea upon what you speak. Was it a book or a cartoon?
It was a book. But it was a book of like a cartoon.
It was a book of like a cartoon. Yeah. This won't end well.
No.
Those stags look like they're from Dunham, don't they? They're lovely at Dunham. Need to take Lola back to Dunham. But there's people there.
Well, we can avoid people.
Kim tried to watch Father Ted but kept falling asleep. I must admit, I am still behind that.
Stanley gets squashed flat by a falling bulletin board. Stanley's parents rolled him up, put him in an envelope and mailed him to his friend in California.
That's a very good point. That is huge, though. Do you know what it reminds me of, Mike?
What?
When we went to Alverston, not this year, last year.
Oh, yes.
And there was a game on. And Mike said, but I can only watch it on my phone. If, you know, the app's only active on your phone. And I said, you know, could do with a bigger screen. So I took a projector and I said, it'll be fine. There'll be a blank wall. Well, needless to say, in our hotel, there wasn't a blank wall. But there was one with this massive piece of artwork on. Well, getting it off the wall was incredibly simple. So we watched the game with two screws in the middle of the pitch. And then we came to put the artwork back. I have no idea how they got that up, but we couldn't. So I said, could we just make an artistic statement and put it on the floor? It'll be fine. But in the end, we managed to get it up again. Never again. We don't have much in the way of artwork, do we?
No.
We have got some MacBite's artwork in frames downstairs. So we do have our favourites in frames. But what we need is a MacBite's artwork as big as the stags. I'm sure we can arrange that, can't we? We can nick, well, I would say we can nick in while Jonathan's out, but he's not out much these days. When he's out for a walk, we could nick in and plaster the walls with them. That would work.
Flat Stanley is a book, Kim.
Do you know, Kim is so logical. Look at that next time. Try a white sheet over it. We should have done that. But then, of course, I would have had to have made the bed. That wouldn't end well. Yeah, but we could have taken the sheet with us. Oh, excellent idea. I shall add it to the list of stuff I take with me on holiday.
The Flat Stanley project I've only just found out about, with Debbie saying that.
What is this Flat Stanley thing? Is this like Stanley and the Lion?
The Flat Stanley was a book. It was a series of book, and it began as a bedtime story for the author's sons. And I told you it was about a kid who got squashed flat by a falling bulletin board. There's videos on YouTube and things. Flat Stanley books. I remember I had it as a kid. But, you know, when I was a kid, they didn't have all the, not memorabilia, all the stuff that you have these days.
Do you know, why do people call me?
Who's calling you?
Well, if I knew that, he wouldn't have blocked it.
Hello, Elaine, it's Peter.
Good grief.
I'm just saying to let you know that about 10 years ago, Andy and I with another couple from the Inway Circle attended the Kaiser Ball for New Year in Vienna.
It's Peter.
Oh.
Oh, good grief, Peter. You'll have to wait, mate. It's like, I think it's 2 minutes long. Somebody's attended a ball, basically. I didn't know Peter had my phone number. I haven't got Peter's phone number. That's why it blocked it.
What's it? It's unknown, doesn't he?
No. There's a number on it.
Oh.
But I just didn't have Peter's number.
Oh, he's probably come up with a suggestion for Saturday.
Hang on a minute. What is going on here?
I don't know.
Oh, weirdness.
Oh.
Right, I've had another call from him last Saturday at 12:30.
Oh.
But he didn't leave a message.
That's probably say he was going to bed.
Oh, bless him. I'll have to put him in my thing and then it'll let him through. But at the moment, it doesn't let you. It's not a scammer, Jonathan. It's a real person.
Peter is our provincial president at the Catanians. The one who likes T-Rex.
I'm just thinking here.
And he always rings me up and asks for T-Rex and Duffy. They're his favourites.
The last incoming phone call to me that obviously got through was the priest on the 22nd of March. Sorry, the 21st of March, which was the Saturday after we were told we were going into lockdown, and he decided he wanted to put the mass online. And since then, nobody's rung me.
So yes, they have.
Have they?
Yeah, my mother rang you.
Last
week or the week before, when she couldn't get through to me.
That's right, why is she not in my list?
And she had a computer problem.
No.
Couldn't get into that
No,
Zoom.
You're all right. I'm looking at voicemail. I don't take much notice of... No, I did speak to your mother. You're quite right. No, the last voicemail that I had was last March. This is the problem, you see.
See, you get it all, don't you?
Oh, there's a flat Stanley that I'm looking at. Oh, yeah. That is so cute. I'm loving that. Looks like a flamingo. A flamingo paperclip. I'm loving that. Right, let's put a reply on that. So, who is delinquent? Jonathan is delinquent. Is anybody else delinquent?
Jonathan's half delinquent.
Half delinquent, still delinquent. Are you going to listen to Nights, Jonathan? See, I can't talk about the Siri sketch and things unless you've heard it. Mike appreciated the Siri sketch.
Oh, that's cool, Debbie.
That is a little lovely, isn't it? I'm loving those orange flowers as well. I do love orange.
Yeah.
Yes, you see, Jonathan is delinquent. That's going in next week's show now. Jonathan was delinquent. Do you know, just because you're working from home doesn't mean that they should be able to impinge on the hours that you're not supposed to be working. But in Jonathan's case, they seem to have gone mental with that, don't they?
Yeah, I've got a meeting request for next Wednesday at 6:30.
In the morning?
No, in the evening.
Is this acceptable?
No.
No?
One, I don't do 6:30. And two, we're on holiday.
Oh, yes, that's even worse.
A laughable holiday.
A laughable holiday.
Yes.
Cheeky blighters.
Yeah.
I trust you gave them short shrift.
I will do when I reply. It came in just before I left. So it shut down for the day.
Do you remember that guy I work for? Another laughable thing. It was Christmas and the place was shut. So for 3 days, you have to keep three of your holidays because the place is shut over Christmas. At which point he decided he wanted two of us to go in. So I'm like, it's Christmas. And he said, and we're a Jewish company. I said, fine, I'll come in at Christmas. You come in at Yom Kippur. That didn't go down so well. So in the end, I got Christmas off. You shouldn't have to barter like that. But this is what happens.
Oh, Johnny's off tomorrow.
You
sleep all day and then you've got all night.
Exactly. He's preparing for Friday. He's now taking it seriously and getting into training.
Because he's well behind.
I know. But something hasn't been mentioned yet about last night and the show. What number is it on Jonathan's challenge? Do you know what number it is on Jonathan's challenge, Mike?
132.
No, I'm talking shows.
Oh, no.
I think that one was
4
10.
5. No.
No. He said 12 shows in a year, didn't he?
Oh, right.
Right. So if we all get to the MacBites list, which should be in there somewhere. No, that's marooned. Do you know, well, I was just going to say, I wonder how we coped with this without Notion. But the answer was we didn't, did we?
Jonathan Dent, show us his remaining annual leave bookings. I take it it's every Friday, Johnny.
Oh, that's genius. Well, it's a nice try anyway, bless. Right, let's have a look at MacBite shows. Because I've actually put, we've got a notes column. Need to do another Notion walkthrough, don't we?
The thing is, Johnny, if you can't go away because you're stuck in lockdown Manchester, you might as well take every Friday off and make it a long weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, 132 was number 10. So we're two off Jonathan's challenge. Yes.
And we've already done 133, haven't we? Because you announced
it. Does just mentioning 133 constitute done? No, I think you'll find Kim, being umpire, has written some rules. To qualify, a MacBite show must be longer than 30 minutes. So just mentioning 132, I don't think I'm going to get away with it. But, no, 133. But 133 is the next show. So, and I've already got content for it, because I'm putting in that Jonathan was delinquent. So there's one little nugget of information.
I've got half content.
Have you?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm writing up my monitor story.
Oh, yes. That was a good one.
But I'll say nothing because I wouldn't like to spoil the surprise.
No. They'll all have forgotten by then. Anyway, obviously 133 can't happen until I know exactly what we're putting in it because then that's when I start the artwork thing. I am, of course, deeply involved in Friday night. So I think we're all demoed out with that, aren't we? Are we full? Have we got that full?
What, Friday night?
Yeah. I think we do. Because you were very interested in me showing you how I start drawing. oh, Kim, what's going on? We do have two to get our points, you're quite right. While listening to you two, I was freaking out Notion going poof. It took a long time to download yesterday. Who knew I had so many pages? Do you know, I have been thinking it has been a little bit slow, but...
Yeah, I've noticed that.
They have. I think they're making fundamental changes because, you know, I mentioned that there was a little snafu. This one was only a little snafu. Everything was working, but the graphics weren't coming through from templates. And it was what I talked about last time in one of the bug fixes that they'd done. And they fixed it. So I had to go back through the... stuff that I'd made, the new stuff, based on a template. So I did. Everything's up to date. But one issue that I have had for months, and it's driving me insane, on my weekly action guide pages, I'd put the information above the fold, so the metadata, but I'd also put a template thing at the bottom. And then, of course, I changed the template. So every time I make... Well, not even make, but every time I go to a new week, so I'm looking at, we're in week 35, but I'm looking at week 37. Every time I go into it, I have to delete everything below the fold, but that's fine because there's nothing there that's not just straight come from the template. So I did it from the template, nuked the whole lot, and then applied the template, and something weird was happening, which was when I applied the template, it deleted the icon. And this was the only template that did that. Every other one observed the fact that there was an icon there, and it takes precedence if it's something that you've applied rather than it coming from the template. But this one did neither. It didn't apply an icon from the template. It just nuked the icon that was there, which was particularly annoying. So there was nothing I could do. I made a new template. I tried everything and it wouldn't do it. So I thought, this is very annoying. Because obviously at the time that I created the original weekly action guide pages, I took the time and I applied the correct icon with the week number on. So for about the last 20 weeks, every time I've done it, I've had to then apply the stuff below the first, so apply a new template to it, and then go and get the icon. And it's just very, very annoying. So today I goes to do exactly the same thing. I'm thinking, I've got week 35, I've got week 36, let's get week 37 up. And basically it means that, you know, I can get stuff that I know about that's happening in 2 weeks, I can put on the right page, in the right place. So first off, I started with week 36 and the icon didn't delete. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, just a minute. And I thought, no, it must, that was a one-off. So I get to week 37 out, does it again. They fix the problem. I think she's just rolled over onto chicken.
Probably.
bless her little cotton socks. So I think they are working on something because they fixed something that they hadn't even acknowledged was broken. So that's pretty good news. But they have got more money than God in terms of funding and paying users.
But not as much as Apple.
Not as much as Apple, obviously. No. I mean, Apple pretty much have dibs on everything that's on the planet, don't they? But I don't see that they would necessarily have a need to sell out soon or shut up shop. It's not that they're struggling. It's not. But we'll see. I was actually thinking about that because I've been...
See you, Johnny.
Good night, Jonathan. Two show Friday, indeed. So Kim's been doing the same when you had the template. Well, try it again now, Kim. I think they've changed something. In real language, fixed it. I think they've fixed something. But I was actually thinking about it. There's a bit of a Twitter flame war going on between Tiago Forte, who does the para thing, and Connor White Sullivan, who is the owner of Rome. From what I can gather, reading between the lines, it's a bit of a set-up argument, but it did bring into play how much of a calamity would it be if the... And they were talking about these applications in terms of note-taking. So, lots of videos on Twitter, YouTube, lots of arguments on Twitter about which app you should use for note-taking. Now, to me, Notion could take notes, but it could also, you know, run a mission to Mars. So it's not just a note taker. You could say Evernote is just a note taker, but even then it depends on what you do with it and how you actually use it. I did used to run live sessions through Evernote and I was making dashboards before it was a thing. But I don't think of them as just note taking applications. But they were making the point, you know, what if you go all in with your note-taking application? And they were talking particularly about five. There was Evernote, OneNote, Notion, Rome, and was it Bear? How much of a disaster would it be if it went bye-bye, if it just vanished? And I thought, well, the first question is, you know, is there a period at which you can get your data out? It's very easy to get data out of Evernote into virtually anything. But that's because the data's so easy to deal with. There's very little in the way of links between two notes in Evernote, unless you manually choose to link them. But if you think of how Notion works, that would be a whole different business. And I remember what I said to Mike. I mean, let me ask you the question. How much of a disaster would it be in your mind for your content if Notion went away?
A big disaster.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with that on one level, but I'm...
We'd have no Matt Bites.
Don't tell Jonathan, it's a good job he's gone.
We'd have... Last year, we'd have had no record of
who was attending what
event.
Which, this year, NMP.
Not our problem.
Not my problem.
I'm sure there's plenty of other stuff. I've got a master shopping list in there, which I go through and...
But, you know, that's an example, right? So your master shopping list, you're thinking like that would be a bit of a disaster. It would take you time to recreate it.
Yeah. Wouldn't be a huge problem because I'd just go back to last week's shopping.
That's what I'm thinking. When I log into Morrison's, it's like, you bought this.
Yeah.
And buy from your previous purchases. So it will actually take you through everything that you've bought, which is really bad news. You know, like if you're now on a strict diet, but this was when you were eating ice cream and enjoying it.
It's like Tesco. Like I said to you last week, just moving off the subject. Tesco, once you click checkout, you've got to click checkout four times. Because you click checkout, then it says, these are on half price. Then it says... Do you want to buy anything? Then it says, so you click checkout without buying anything. Then it says, these are things that you've bought recently. You've not put in your basket. Do you want to buy them? So you say no, click checkout. And then there's a final checkout. So you're clicking checkout four times.
Do you know what?
I'm sure there's loads of stuff.
I think it
would... All the Munich stuff.
I think it would dawn on you over time. Paul's going to mute. We could do all kinds of mischief. I think it would dawn on you over time, things that like, oh, not stuff you use every day, but something that you do refer to. And then it'd be like, oh, I've not got access to that. If we presuppose you could do a takeout of your data, it would be way more difficult to go find it. Because it wouldn't like be a web page, would it? You'd actually have to delve into the CSV and markup export. But it would probably be there. It would just be a matter of doing something else with it. It reminded me sometimes things have gone bye-bye for us in the middle of using it. The first one that disappeared was Google Notebook. Google Notebook was around in about 2007 and it wasn't really that well known. Google Docs were there. And I remember saying to you and Mikey B, why don't we use Google Notebook rather than documents? Because in a notebook, the next show would be on the next page. Whereas if we used Docs, each one was a totally separate file. And neither of you had actually heard of it. But when we got into it, the pair of you were like, oh my word, this is so cool. And, you know, looking back, we were quite right. Because what that could do circa 2007... was amazing. There's services even now that would struggle with the real-time aspect of it, and it really was real-time. But when it went away, I was peeved, but, you know, I copy-paste, and got all the data out of it. Through various other systems, we ended up in Google Wave, and I adored Google Wave, but it was pitched as chat. It was pitched as social, wasn't it? Threaded social. Does anybody remember Google Wave? You remember every? Have you used it? I thought it was perfect, but we weren't using it as just chat. We were using it to put a story in, and then each one of us was commenting on the story underneath it. So we could from that say, right, you know, we'll drop that one, we'll cover this one. There's a bit of humour in that one. You know, we've got to talk about Timmy, you know, buying bananas in bulk. So it worked brilliantly, but then you could tell they'd done all of the, what I call, like, fake promo in terms of, scarcity. It was one of these invitation-only things, which everybody was like, oh, I need an invitation. So the socials were full of it. But it wasn't getting a lot of love. And other people were saying it's not as good as X. But the thing is, X, whatever it was, you know, Skype or Facebook Messenger or whatever, this wasn't that. But they didn't seem to understand that. So I said to Mike, this is not good news with this. They're not taking it in the direction that they could, putting as much, showing it as much love as they could have done. And they definitely didn't. And in the end, true to form, it went bye-bye. So that one was a real, real bummer. But I think I'm at the point, we were using Google Docs, and I said to Mike, can't be doing with this anymore. I cannot put a story in a Google Doc, and then you have your say in it. So, you know, this is my take on it. And then there's another piece underneath it. I said, because if we need to move one of the pieces we're doing, you know, just reorder something. It's really difficult. It's a document. So it's like taking that paragraph and that paragraph and that paragraph. There's no easy way to remember the spike. There's no easy way to take chunks out of a Word document or a Google Doc and put it back in another place without having to do a lot of triage, making sure it's correct. And of course, where do you put the chunks you've taken out while you rearrange them? Now, if you think about Notion, each individual piece that we do. So what was one thing we did on the last show? The Dev and Think licensing fiasco. That's the notes for that are in one single item in a table in Notion. And if I want to say, which was a position we actually came to, wasn't it? Oh, behind the scenes, Jonathan would love this. We were recording and we came to a point where we ran out of time because we're aiming for an hour, but sometimes we're off by like 20 minutes either way. We're trying to get better at it, but you know, you just start talking. So I'm looking ahead and I'm looking at this piece on DevonThink and I'm thinking we could, you know, it's not time specific, that could have been last week's story. It could have been a story next week. I would have bumped it, but I couldn't bump it. And bump it means bumping it forward. I couldn't bump it forward because it was part of the title of the show. So super, super duper exclusive behind the scenes here. Having run out of time, Mike's finishing off his piece. Can you remember what that piece was?
Set up, wasn't it?
I'm thinking it. Yes, it must have been. It must have been set up. So Mike's finishing off this piece on setup and he's doing the maths at this stage on how much it would cost him. And I can look at what's coming up and I can see that the DevonThink piece is coming up. I can see after that Mike was doing working with Hidden Files. Or did you do that first? Because you said it wasn't in that order.
Hidden Files was earlier.
I have no idea how that happened, but never mind. So I could see with the DevonThink thing that afterwards there was the outro to the show. So Mike finished his bit and I said, we're running out of time. There's no time to record this bit actually now. I can't bump it because it's part of the show title. I'll do it while you do your webinar. So we just like put a blip on the timeline, you know, an audible. So we knew there was an edit point. And we carried on and we did the rest of the show, at which point Mike had like 25 minutes before his webinar. He toddles off into his webinar. I make sure the princess is all sorted out. And then I sit down and I do the DevonThink piece on its own. But I didn't have to do anything in terms of moving it in the recording notes because everything's separate anyway. So that was just a quick behind the scenes. Hopefully you couldn't tell the join. We actually recorded the end of the show as if I'd finished speaking and then Mike came in and said something and then I said something else. We actually had all of that recorded. It was just the big chunk that just needed putting in. This was the DevonThink thing. Oh, you enjoyed the maths. should you or shouldn't you get set up? It's very difficult these days. Same with the Audible thing. You know, do I use this credit or not? It used to be so simple. But there again, I can manage to get in a year. I've always had two credits a month, either a month or per year. So that would give me 24 books. But I always, with those 24 credits, get at least 48 books. At least. So for my £114.99, you know, I'm looking at 48 books minimum. Then there's the books that I actually purchase. So it was £109.99, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was.
Totally escaped me. We'll call it £110 and then divide it by the 48. Yeah, £2.29 a book. The thing. So I thought it was worthwhile sharing that maths as well. So it was a whole maths episode. but going back to what we had, where it was all in one individual file, it was a nightmare. I think we went from that to Scrivener. And Scrivener, of course, has the concept of the individual scrivenings, or little chunks of information. But you can't put the show together in Scrivener because you can't share it. If there was an online version of Scrivener, we would be done. And it's because of that that we have Notion. So everything that goes in Notion is just us in the week kicking ideas around and moving them up and down the pecking order. But the next bit is to kind of take it out of there and then put it in a format that's a predictable format that we can use. Because if at the point of recording we were using Notion, you'd be hearing us clicking into stories, clicking out of stories, clicking in, clicking out. So we actually do it from one PDF, which is now hosted in Dropbox, but wasn't before. But in relation to if it went bye-bye, how much of a calamity, it reminded me that we did go from Google Notebook and we went to Etherpad. Etherpad was amazing. It was an online text editor where you had real-time editing between multiple people. It was fabulous. That got bought by Google. They wanted to roll the technology into Google Docs, which they did. But, you know, Google Docs, not plain text. It's got very much a page metaphor, whereas this was like a rolling stream of consciousness. Totally different in my mind. We've moved from Podio. Remember Podio?
Yeah.
Podio was great, but oh boy, did it take a lot of triage. Podio is a system a little bit like Trello or Asana or Zenkit or Notion, but very proprietary. And at one point, it was free up to a certain number of something. But, you know, you were never going to get there. And then they made it paid for. And if you didn't pay, they deleted your stuff. So it was time to leave Podio.
Just won't to, pay, we'll take it away.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was too high maintenance to start with, so it was time to look around. Same with Trello and then Asana, then back to Trello, then Asana and then Trello again. Then we went from Trello to Zenkit. But each time we moved, it was like, well, what are you going to do with the stuff that's in that system? How much of a calamity would it be if you don't have access to that particular system anymore? And that's also a reason that at the point of we've made our minds up that that's the content that we're going to cover. What we actually record from then goes into Scrivener. Now, it probably takes about 20 minutes maybe to get it into Scrivener. To push, if you're not being interrupted by anything else, probably about 20 minutes. But it's worthwhile doing that because at the end of it, we end up with an A4 PDF with a pretty front cover on it and all of the meta on the first page, index on the page after that, and then the contents of what we've actually talked about. And it's independent of any application or system or anything else. So if I wanted to know, you know, what do the recording notes look like for episode 4, I can actually go back and look. Now, how I did that was at the beginning when we had like 20 shows, 30 shows, it was pretty simple to be able to take the recording notes and move them from one system to another system because there wasn't that many of them. But once you get up into the, you know, 130 odd, you don't particularly want to be doing that repeatedly. So we took the decision when we moved from Google Docs that we would go to OneNote and we would do all of this rough work in OneNote. And then we would take it through to Scrivener. So the fact it goes through to Scrivener in the end means that it is independent. Even if Scrivener went bye-bye, we still have the PDFs that have come out of that. So if Notion went, it wouldn't be good news, no. But I think the experience that you've had of moving from system to system to system is such that if you were starting again from scratch in a new system, you would have a pool of knowledge of what did work, what didn't work, why you did something, why you didn't do something, why you tried it and thought that'd be great and then like, no, it's not great. You know, all of that is in your head mainly. I mean, you might have notes of it somewhere, but it's experience that the next time you come to rebuild the system, you can't really have taken off you. But I don't think Notion's going anywhere anytime soon. Just purely the way it's going, the level of popularity, the fact they've raised all this funding, they've already publicly stated they are not interested in selling out to somebody else, that this is their work. It's the same with Rome. Now, I appreciate Rome is a very different business. Mike's not bothered with Rome, are you?
No.
Rome is very different. Could you run MacBytes in it? Possibly. But it would be very difficult. And Rome isn't really intended at the moment for teamwork. So being able to track who did something, not really. You know, you'd have to have the rules of engagement there as to, well, you know, I'm going to put my initials after this, or we'll have to do it that way, just so you can track who's doing what. But Rome itself, for personal work, is stunning. Totally stunning. Unlike Notion, where you have to build the system, Rome lets you kind of build the system as you go. So let's say I'm doing a piece on design applications. So I'm going to do a bit about Photoshop. I start writing this up on a page, a new empty page in Rome. Oh, what's Rome? Anthony's not heard of Rome. Rome Research, it's R-O-A-M, as in wonder. So the idea is that you are roaming through the contents of your brain. Have you heard of an application called The Brain? It's been around years. It's very expensive because not many people use it. And pretty much I think it's dropping off its twig. But it's a little bit like that. You could say it's a note-taking app, but it's way more than that. But just imagine you've got a new page in front of you, as if it was a Word document or a Google Doc. And you start typing up, right? So the first app that we, you know, today we're looking at design applications. And traditionally, I've always used the Photoshop applications. And then I'm going to put like particularly Adobe Photoshop, Adobe Illustrator and Adobe InDesign. Right. At that point, I know that I'm going to have to say something about Photoshop and InDesign. And if we're doing this as like, this is my introductory piece, and then over the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about all the applications, then I'm going to need information about the applications. When was Photoshop first released? What's the latest version? That just basic information about that application. So I put in a list of the applications, and then if that was Notion, to make much sense of that, you'd have no option. You would have to go and build like a table and then put an entry in for each application and then put some meta in. When was it released? What's the current version? And you would have to think about the information that you needed at that point. So you become an architect. You're building a system. Notion's fabulous when you've built it. But what Rome allows you to do is start with a single page, put in the applications, and then at the point that you think, OK, and I've got all these post-it notes on the desk, I've got 12 post-it notes and each one has a little nugget of information about Adobe Photoshop. They're on post-it notes on the desk because I didn't have anywhere to put them. Now, do I put all 12 pieces of information in this single page that is about all of the applications? And if I do, it's going to get lost. It's going to get complicated. So what I actually do in Rome is highlight the name, Adobe Photoshop, and I press the opening square bracket twice. That's it. It makes me a new page. I click on it and I paste all 12 pieces of information in that secondary page. I go back to the first page and I've got a permanent link from that page to the 12 post-it notes, or the information from the 12 post-it notes. And you carry on going like that. So it's about making connections between information. But you don't have that upfront. Just a minute, I've got to build a table to do it. Would I fancy running MacBytes through it? Not really. I'd spend half my time trying to make sure Mike knew what on earth was going on. But it is a very, very good system if what you're doing is making notes from books or making notes yourself on something that, you know, a blog post that you're researching. As the name implies, Rome Research. It's the research part of it. And he's done amazingly well to get something that's actually fairly academic and fairly complicated into the productivity psyche of the productivity porn brigade. I call it productivity porn. It's people who are obsessed with the productivity rather than actually getting anything done. They just want to switch from one up to another and back again. And then when you say, what have you done this week? You know, what have you actually made? Well, nothing, because I've been building the system. And they never actually get beyond building the system. But I think if I really did have to rebuild a system, yes, I would lose what we've got that we haven't used if I couldn't export it. But all the stuff we've already done, I could go back. So to give you an example, I'm currently researching. This is the kind of thing I should probably do on Twitch, isn't it, Kim? I'm about to buy a book about Twitch, so I know what on earth is going on. More on that tomorrow. It's a very cheap book. And it has brethren, very cheap other brethren. But at the moment, I am researching to write a piece. So let me go into Rome and see how it looks. Yeah, Kim asked about the black hole. She saw a folder called The Black Hole, or Black Hole, I think it's called, and asked about it. So I thought, you know, for months and months, I've been threatening to write a blog post about it. And I had a look, and I've never written this blog post up. So I thought, right, need to write the blog post up. Now, what do you do in Notion? Do you have a content calendar that then has, like, I'll add an item that gives me a Notion page, and then what? And I, what I mean by and then what is, like, do you just start writing it? Because actually, I knew there'd been many and varied different iterations of this black hole system. And I thought, you know, to do a blog post justice on this, I need to look back and see when did we change things, you know, and why? What were we using originally? I couldn't even remember. Mike's going to laugh at me, but I couldn't remember the app that started it all. Can you remember what the black hole app was called? Because it wasn't called the black hole.
It wasn't Dropzone, was it?
No, that's what we're using now.
Oh.
You're not far off. You're four letters out. But I couldn't remember.
Oh, yeah. I can. I won't spoil the surprise.
No, it's fine.
Dropcopy.
It was Dropcopy.
Only because I saw your notes.
See,
I didn't
what I mean.
Know that was the first one.
That was the first one. So it was an app that was called Dropcopy. But I couldn't even remember that. So let's imagine that Notion had been nuked and Trello and Asana, and I had no access to the actual work product. But what I do have and always will have is access to the PDFs. So I could do a search through a folder that contained all of the previous recording notes from MacBytes. And Black Hole came up a fair few times. Let me see if I can see how many. Not from there. Not from there, but doubtless I could if I clicked through. So I went back and I had a look at what was in the recording notes. And some of these things were just, this is what we use. So like five incredible apps that we can't live without, that kind of thing. No valuable information whatsoever. But some of them did have valuable information. So they become my sources of research for this thing that I'm writing. So I actually have a page in Rome, which is going to be the blog post. That's where you're going to type it. But I also have hanging off that page the research for it. So I have another page in Rome called the Black Hole. On that page, it says the Black Hole apps, current and past, the Black Hole backstory. Within that, it's got version 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Underneath that, it says finessing the system. And then I've got show notes. And in the show notes, I've got links to all of the apps that I use. And that's the research. That's not actually the article. That's the research of it. And that is what that excels at. But would it matter if it was in a different app? I think now I've got my head around that's a really good way to work. You could make another system work as closely as that as possible. Or maybe down the line, you know, there's going to be something even better than that. I just think he's done incredibly well with it. Again, he isn't interested in selling out. It's his life's work. He's written white papers on knowledge management. And his big thing is bidirectional linking, which we did look at Rome, but you've probably forgotten. I can't remember when it was. It was possibly March, April time, something like that. It would probably make more sense now to have a look at what my system looks like now because there's more stuff in it. So there's book notes. There's video editing design system. That's one that's active at the moment. There's my book tracking system. So book notes are book notes that I actually make from kind of productivity books, but the book tracking system is just any book that I read or listen to. I've also got in there the Dev and Think stuff, and that's quite intricate if you think about it, because it's been an 8-part series so far, possibly 9, thinking of adding tips and tricks, but it's been an 8-part series. So you know, and the research for each one is different, but there's some commonality to it. How he's managed to get an app that's so esoteric. It must be very difficult for some people, like Mike doesn't want a bar of it. It's very difficult for some people to conceptualise what it actually does and how it could help them. And the fact that he has, Tiago's got this course called Build a Second Brain, hugely expensive. I think it's about £2,000, this course. But within it, when he started it, it was Evernote. 98% of the people who were on this course were using Evernote. And he's just released the figures. And I think Evernote is at 38%. Notion is at 36%. And I think Rome is about 32%, something like that. It's pretty amazing at how it's jumped out of absolutely nowhere. And he also has this concept of believers. And the believers are people who have paid for 5 years up front. They believe in it that much. So I would say that one is not going anywhere. But then you never know. You never know. I hope we come to a point where the systems that are out there kind of calm down a bit. At the moment, everybody's knocking the last nail in the coffin of Evernote. Evernote might be kind of on the decline, but it still has its place. It's got a great clipper. I think any system can be made. You can survive in any system. It's how you implement the system. But some systems feel better than others. And obviously you want those to continue. But when you're deploying something, don't just think in terms of I'm doing this in X application, because you could well end up in a position that X application doesn't exist anymore. And at that point, you're going to have to move anyway. So the more systems that you're exposed to, the more of the techniques that are in there you can bring into other applications. Everything that I've learned in Notion is in my head when I'm in Rome. And I'm even making a decision, should this be in Rome or should it be in Notion? Obviously, if it's shared, it needs to be in Notion. But the research for a piece on the black hole, Mike doesn't need to see the research, just needs to see the final thing. My biggest issue is trying to get it out of Rome. I mean, I can get it out of Rome. I can just copy and paste it. But it leaves like certain things in it, you know, odd characters that I'd need to get rid of. But nothing catastrophic. So I'm doing it in there at the moment. I also use mind mapping software, Anthony, particularly when I just want to visualise something and I want to quickly drag and drop things around to reorganise them. I will go straight into MindNode. If I'm making notes on a PDF book, then odds are, like you're saying, margin note would be the one. And that has the built-in, I mean, we did that, didn't we? That had the built-in ability to have a mind map, basically, from the highlights you've put in a book, which to me was amazing. That was stunning. So I do like using that one as well, but that will probably be more of a deep dive. And while I could outline this piece that I'm writing in a mind mapping app, I think in my head it's very linear. You know, there was version one, there was version two, there was version three. So a mind map, I wouldn't be reorganising it because it's five distinct steps and it went from one to five. So I don't see much benefit in mind mapping that. The margin note aspect of that, there's nothing that I don't have anything like PDFs that I want to highlight stuff from. Now, actually thinking about it, now Anthony's mentioned it, maybe you would have. Maybe I could take the recording notes from the five episodes or seven episodes of MacBytes and drag them into margin note and then open them up one at a time and take the information out of there as to precisely what I said. I didn't do that purely because some of the mentions were very, very short. And it was like, no, that's not even worth mentioning. Some of them had like a date in and I just want the date. So I don't think for that one, mind mapping or margin note was relevant. But that's probably a good thing because for other things, it's spot on accurate. It's the right thing to do. So the right tool for the job, and it's a toolkit you've got, not one tool. A lot of people seem to want like a multifunction tool that does everything. And I don't. I mean, if you had like a multifunction pen knife, which I did have, Yeah, when I was travelling around a lot, I did have the mother and father of all multifunction penknives. You know, and I could put a hole into something and it had a corkscrew on it. And every now and then I did actually need that. I had a little tiny pair of scissors on it, but very sharp edges on them. I give you, for instance, with something like that, you know, obviously the thing to have in the circumstances would have been a pair of wire cutters. We were at my grandmother's grave and my mum wanted to take out these flowers and cut the bottoms off. And they were like fake flower bottoms. They were wire. And she said, I've got nothing to cut it with. And she was bending it backwards and forwards. Now, I couldn't go to the boot and say, it's all right, I've got a pair of wire cutters, because it wasn't something that I had in there. But I did have this multifunction pen thing. So I said, let me have a look at it. I said, I can't guarantee that this is going to work, but let me have a look. And I tried the little scissor things and it got through the plastic, but it wasn't getting through the metal. But then I flipped it round and on the other side, there was like a saw blade. So I said, you hold it, I'll saw through it. And it worked. Was it the optimum way to do that job? No, but it was the tool that I had with me at the time. But I consider that the work that I do, I don't particularly want one tool to beat them all. I want the right tool for the job. And that does include, so it's a whole kit. It's MindNode for, I also have iThoughts, but I do prefer MindNode. So I've got MindNode and I've got MarginNote, PDF Experts in the mix. Evernote's still in the mix. Notion, Rome. I even still have Bear and I pay £1 a month for Bear. Why am I subscribed to Bear? I don't use it. I don't ever put anything in Bear. There's some stuff in there, but you know, it's there because I need to take it out and put it somewhere else. But I would still pay for it, even though I have zero intention of ever putting anything in it. And it's not because I'm such a fan of Bear. It's because there have been occasions with the Notion Clipper, which is still very embryonic. It's only been with us just over a year, where I'm trying to clip a page. I'm not interested particularly in the layout of the page. I'm more interested in clipping the content of the page. And I've tried clipping it in Notion and it's not having it at all. So my next port of call is Evernote. And that's appalling. Half the information's missing. There is a clipper for Rome, but that's even more embryonic than all of the others. At which point, I'll try Bear. And Bear has been the one that does a great job of capturing just the information and the images, but none of the adverts and none of the rubbish. It just gives you exactly what you need. And for me, that's worth that for a year. But I don't believe in this, there'll be one application and it will do everything. It will do everything that you know you manage to get it to do, but probably not in the most optimum way. But what does that mean if Notion goes away? And I'd say take the principles from Notion. I mean, if you had to rebuild that in an app more like Trello or Zenkit, could you? Oh, he's pondering
not
now.
Easily.
Not easily. There are some things it wouldn't do, but could I get a working system up in a week to try and get a show out of the door? Probably, while I'm cursing Notion, I'm looking for something else. So I'm glad, for instance, that I was very annoyed at the time. I was going through this process with, which one was Trello? And I'd built this entire system and it was amazing. And I just wanted to do one thing. And the one thing was have a query that said, but not this. So I want A and B and C, but not D. And it couldn't do it. And I'm like, what? So I moved to Asana and I got Asana up and running. And I'm like, I don't like the interface. And over time, it's like, oh, actually, I appreciate the interface. Got the system up and running in that and then came up against a different brick wall. And that was why I went back to Trello. Then Asana had an update, so then I went back to Asana, at which point somehow, and I have no idea how, I found Zenkit. And the difference with Zenkit was that enabled you to link boards together. And that was the game changer. But do you know there are still things that Trello did that they brought in? No, it was Asana. You could have a nested query. And that doesn't sound as exciting as it actually is. A nested query is incredibly powerful. Notion doesn't really do that. Not yet. They've improved the query engine, but it's not all there yet. But I work around that because the rest of the stuff that it does absolutely perfectly. So Kim couldn't do it without me teaching her how. I do play around with it a lot to try and get the best out of it because it makes the difference between getting the job done and not. I mean, when we look back, when did we implement Notion properly? Because obviously we've backfilled since then. So if I do go into Notion now, I don't have every single word that's in the PDFs, but I do have the meta for every single show. And we kind of kick the idea around of like, oh, is this something we want to do or not? You know, do you want to waste time backfilling? And I said, you know what? I reckon if we split the work, we could have it done in an hour. And I said, let's just do it. So you take from like episode 50 to 100 and I'll take one to 50, one to 49. And we sat there and we did it. And at the end of it, you know, you wouldn't, people like Chiago would have had a fit at the thought of that. But the thing is, it means if I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, oh, I remember that we did that in X show. When was that show? I don't have to move out a Notion. I just do Command and P, put in either the title or the number of the show, whatever I can remember about the show. I'll get a list of results, go to it, look at it. And one of the pieces of metadata that Mike and I took the time to put in was the date the show was released. And that means that I've now got that piece of information and I can quickly go back to where I was, put it in and carry on. And that is so powerful. But as I say, we didn't backfill everything. We backfilled enough to make it useful. So Deb says, when mapping families in the brain, I like having the abilities to have the records attached in the notes area and outlining census records and collecting DNA matches. Yeah, whatever works for you. I mean, the brain, I did look at the brain a while ago. I think there is a very practical reason why I didn't take it any further. It's going to sound ludicrous, but this was what happened. I'd got really, really hacked off with Windows. Really hacked off. This was late 2005. And I started looking at what I used and in terms of applications. And what would be a problem? What would not be available if I switched platform? But I wasn't thinking of switching to a Mac. I'd ruled that out through ignorance, really. My perception was there's hardly any software on the Mac. It's for just designers and that's it. Which probably back then wasn't a bad thing. So it was Linux I was actually looking at. So for Christmas that year, got myself a book on Linux. And I started working with it and I had a version that ran off a CD. So I'd booted into Linux and there I am. And at the time, the biggest hurdles for me were the Photoshop, you know, the Adobe apps, Photoshop, Illustrator, not Lightroom at that stage, but InDesign. And there's no Linux thing and they don't run on Linux no matter what you do. So I'm looking at that and I then found the brain and it was on Windows. I'm not sure if there was a Linux version at the time. So I started looking at that at the same time as I'm looking at, you know, how much of my work could I take onto Linux and what would be left, et cetera, et cetera. So the next thing that happened is we go to this Adobe gig and they're talking about a new application that they've got called Lightroom. And I'm like, want? And it was free. It was free in beta for the foreseeable.
Don't go there.
What?
Lightroom.
No, let's not talk about Lightroom. But at the time, it was amazing. I'd never seen anything like it. And I said to Mike, I've got to have this. But there was no Windows beta. So it wasn't a case of just going home and trying it. Not happening. So we went and got a Mac magazine and did a bit of research. And within 24 hours, I had a Mac on order solely to use Lightroom. But obviously, then what happened was, as the Mac, we picked it up on the Saturday, we get it on the desk. Oh, we're burning DVDs, we're making movies. It was like, we were blown away. Everything was just so simple. And there wasn't that kind of feel of, and it's all going to fall over any second now. That wasn't there. So the brain kind of got left on one side as I then moved over to the Mac. So it wasn't that there was anything wrong with it. And obviously, like Deb's saying now, there's a mobile app as well. It was just that I never actually got back to it. Once I'd got on the Mac platform, you know, I found DevonThink, and that was the end of that. You know, because I then had this scanner. We'd bought a sheet-fed scanner many, many moons before to do heavy-duty scanning. We had cupboards full of A4 binders, and these A4 binders were from courses that we'd been on or courses that we delivered. And each one was about 4 or 5 inches thick. It was ludicrous. We couldn't move for binders. So I said, we can't scan these one page at a time. You know, let's have a look at a sheet-fed scanner. And at the time, we paid a fortune. It's probably about £550, £600 for a sheet-fed scanner. But it meant that we were gaining room back in the house because we binned the binders. We had digital copies of the binders, and that was what we did with it. So we were aware of sheet-fed scanners. And the fact that the DevonThink app on Mac had this version that hooked in with a Fujitsu scanner, which was the scanner that we had, only the scanner we had wouldn't work because it was Windows only. That's how come we bought the Mac-only version of the Fujitsu scanner. So we could scan into DevonThink, and we never went back to the brain. But it's one of those apps, isn't it? I think if people are using it, they absolutely love it. And they've obviously got a reason to use it. A lot of people that talk about apps and should I use this app or should I use that app? I look at them and I think, if you have to ask that question from a I am clueless perspective, my first question to you is, what do you intend to put in it? You know, what's the best notes app? For what? To do what with? If you're collecting and you like to keep notebooks, maybe Evernote. But if you want to do something with it, so if Mike and I put all of the sources for the stories that we do in MacBytes, each on a page in Evernote, you know, how are we getting them out in a meaningful way? No. And then we've got like the recording notes. Evernote, and I can't believe I'm still saying this, it's 2020. Evernote doesn't support Markdown. You can write in Markdown if you choose, but it doesn't interpret it. It doesn't assist you. You've then got to copy it out and paste it somewhere else. So the right app depends on exactly what you're doing with it, but it gets very tribal. Have you noticed this? It gets very tribal. I use Evernote. Evernote's better because. But the other person's using OneNote, and they're not using it in the same way you are. But it's as though they need to have their decision ratified by the planet. Everybody on the planet, you know, that there is one definitive app that is better than all of the others. From my experience, there isn't. There's apps that are better at one thing than another. And just like a carpenter has more than a saw, why can't you have a range of tools? As long as it's a little orchestra that plays happily together, that you can get items from one to another and back again, depending on what you want to do, I don't see the problem. Use as many as makes sense. But it has got very, very tribal. So I think if Notion went away, yes, there would be a bit of a calamity. I think the time to be thinking about having some kind of useful backup is probably last week rather than next week. But seeing as though you probably didn't think about it last week, today'll do. I actually yesterday exported everything from my Rome system. There's two ways to export it. One's as a JSON file and the other is as Markdown, I think. And, you know, people were in a call that I was on and they were saying, should I export as JSON or should I export as Markdown? And I'm sitting here rolling my eyes thinking, it takes 10 seconds. Why don't you do both? And the guy who was facilitating said, it takes 10 seconds. Why don't you do both? And I'm saying to Mike, there's an echo in here. But Notion's difficult to back up because there isn't one click a button, back it up. It's export this table, export this table. You don't have to export this table. And of course, how many tables have you got? I've got hundreds of tables. Notion's a worry. But when we've done a show, the metadata that's in there, the metadata we can export. And the other data, which is our notes kicking around beforehand, well, I'd be prepared to lose them. You know, I wouldn't be particularly concerned. It would be annoying, but it wouldn't mean that I couldn't get that information somewhere else. And what we do with things with the show metadata is things like what number it is, what the title is, what the release date was, how long it was. What other metadata do we have for a show? Let's have a look. There's probably more than we need, to be honest. Come on, scroll back. I think my browser's having a moment now as well. We have a status, which obviously, if it's an existing show, it's finished. Then we have who's in charge of it, and that's usually me. The show title, the duration, the release date, the day it was released, which isn't something we store, it's derived from the date. We have the show notes URL, we have the show URL, so that's actually the physical location of the show. We have a link to the recording notes, only most of the time that's something you fill in after the event, so that's blank. We have a link to any action items, we have a link to any of the comms, we have the show art, and then we have the shows table hooked up with the content items table, so there's a list of all the content items. We also calculate the month it was released and the week it was released, the week of the year, but they are calculated. And there's a notes field. And in the notes field, Kim's going to love this. In the notes field at the moment, in bright red, it says J10, which means Jonathan's 10th episode. So the next two episodes are J11 and J12. The one after that's just got party time on it. I should actually put E plus one, shouldn't I? 1 point for another show. Yeah, it's a nightmare with tech. I think when we started, we were probably very naive, weren't we? How much of a disaster would it be, Deb, if the brain disappeared? Not suggesting it's going anywhere, but if it did, what's it like in terms of exporting stuff? Where could you take it in a meaningful format? So Kim says, my problem is I'm not prepared to lose anything I've put in Notion. Need to figure out a way to automate the backup or make it very easy. That's going to depend on the kind of stuff. I would rather not lose the stuff that I have put in Notion, but I've been doing this for long enough that I know that that's going to be a trade-off between producing new content and sitting triaging the content that I've already got. That's the issue, basically. Looking at the MacBytes shows, that would be very easy to export as a table. The content items would be very easy to export as a table. I'm assuming you could do some kind of VLOOKUP on that. Two tables with a common field. Can you, yeah. You all come together?
Yeah.
So we could probably cobble something together. The note system that I built a while ago, if you remember the one with the yellow icon, I did transfer everything that was a note from somewhere else into Notion. And I realised, I would say, you know, it was my notes or a notebook, if you will. And I realised that's all very well. But I wasn't particularly accessing them. And nor was I particularly adding new ones to it. And obviously that's the point. I have to stop and think, well, what's going on? And it was because I didn't have an inbox on the notes. But the notes are something that I could take out relatively easily and repurpose somewhere else. So the notes are actually quite important. I'm guessing things like the journal and the weekly action guides as well. Would that make any sense in any other kind of format, though? I think at the moment I'm sticking my head in a bucket of sand and saying I hope Notion doesn't go anywhere anytime soon. But like you, I'm going to have to come up with some kind of plan. The notes technically should work in any app. They should just work anywhere. They do tend to work best in Notion, where I've got an icon on the sidebar. And instead of having my notes in as resources or areas, probably areas as it's ongoing, I deliberately didn't do that. I said, no, this is so important. It's going to live outside the Para system. But there's only two things that live outside my Para system. One is called my flight deck, which is just my main dashboard. And the other is these notes. But I would much rather not lose them. But then I have to say, you know, I've got notes in OneNote even now. And I haven't yet transferred them across. I'd like it if someone could wave a magic wand and transfer them across. but I don't particularly want to take the time. And I am also a nuisance to myself with paper notebooks. I don't have notebooks as in go out and buy like a Moleskin notebook. I use the ARC system. And the problem with the ARC system in the UK is it went bye-bye. Staples went bust and you can now no longer buy ARC notebooks. The price for these things on Amazon is absolutely outrageous. But I did manage to find a cheap notebook. And it's the spiral bound thing. So I can pull the pages out and put new ones in because I have bought many moons ago the ARC hole punch. And I just add pages to it and then stick all the post-it notes on it. It would be better if all that lot was in Notion, but my fear of doing that is I would overwhelm the system in Notion to the point that I couldn't find anything. So I'm in the position of attempting to build it in at the moment. Let's just say that. Right. So Deb says, not much. I put things in at least four places and the brain does mark down. Is Notion's future looking doubtful, Anthony says. No, it's not. No, the one at the moment, everybody's saying like, oh, well, this isn't going to be there tomorrow, is it? Is Evernote, which I can't understand myself. That's just like people wanting to be the first one to predict its demise. Now, I'll admit they have not covered themselves in glory. This is the problem with Evernote. They were a successful startup and everybody jumped on board. You know, all these the people that seem to go from business to business, which I can't understand, you know, business seven taking them on because the first six businesses they were involved with dead now. But they seem to have a reputation and they do get taken on. So Evernote started out. It's a startup. It's doing really, really well. They start taking people on. They take on a CEO who does really well between 2008, which was when Evernote, as you would recognise it now, appeared, and probably about 2015. Then people started leaving. So I think he left a couple of years before that. Then he changed position to be like a chairman. Then he left his position as chairman. And then 2 years ago, they lost 95% of the board. And they ended up with a new CEO called Ian Small. And he decided he took 3 months looking at the state of Evernote and then instigated this kind of promotional thing, which I think was the right thing to do. He started giving behind the scenes looks at videos. He was telling you what was coming. He was telling you what they were doing. He was telling you why certain things hadn't happened. So it was very open. And every week there was a new video. And it was really working. It really was working. It quietened down the ones who for the previous 3 months had been saying, Evernote is doomed. And they started saying like, oh, maybe I was a little bit too soon. Anyway, for 12 months, he was doing that. And I thought, you know, even I'm watching these videos and I'm not a heavy Evernote user. I'd use it when I need the clipper. And that's it. And then one Friday, no video. Next Friday, no video. I thought, where's he gone? And he's totally disappeared off the planet. So there's been no more of these behind the scenes videos that were really working. Now, I know they might think, oh, we've got nothing new to say. That doesn't matter. It's the fact that you're there that's the issue, that people are going to have questions that you're not there. You could talk about tips and tricks. You could interview people. There's lots of things you could do to keep the show on the road, which would give you a connection with your users who potentially are leaving you, not because there's anything wrong with Evernote, but that there's new and shiny out there. Now, your core users who actually use Evernote and gain value from using Evernote may stick with you. But the tech tourists, they're gone. Because look, Notion, shiny. And people say, what should I use, Evernote or Notion? That's like saying, what should I use, a hammer or a saw? That really does depend on what you're trying to do. But nobody acknowledges, none of these people who are, which should I use, seem to acknowledge that they're not actually for the same job. You could probably dismantle a cabinet with a saw, but a hammer would probably be quicker. And, you know, there's also the thing of, I will say often to Mike, a hammer or a screwdriver. I could probably use a hammer and get a screw in the wall, but it won't be pretty and it'll take longer. They don't appreciate that. And they also, again, seem to want the single solution. I want to use Evernote or I want to use Notion. And I'm like, no, just use the one that's right for the job. But they stopped doing these videos. They eventually put a blog post out that said, you know, we're still working hard and we're doing this and we're doing that. But the thing is, the COVID thing slowed us down. And you know, these blog posts have been like 3 in a year. People are getting itchy feet again because they're not hearing from you. So although we make a joke of the Notion updates, because the thing I've been waiting a year for, the timeline thing, still not there. At least there are updates at least once a month, sometimes twice and 3 times a month. They are still working on it. You know, it's just that the one thing that I want isn't there yet. So no, there's no real talk of Notion going anywhere at all. But because there isn't this like one click takeout option, you may be thinking, you know, if I put this in here and then the worst happens, what am I going to do? So what I would do with that is we have a spreadsheet that has the MacBite stuff in it. It doesn't take 2 minutes to put in the meta details of a new show. And sometimes, you know, well, if it's the meta details that you want of that new show, I'll leave it for sort of 5 to 8 shows. And then go into Notion, copy and paste it straight out the table and paste it into a spreadsheet. And that's the backup. Yes, I can export it. And I do export it. But from a quick Notion's down, there it is. I mean, we did have Notion go down in the middle of a show once, didn't we, Mike?
We did.
I remember Mike saying that it's gone down and I'm like, oh, my word.
It
you know,
was
I'm
up... during, what's it?
Which one was it?
It's an after hours.
Mm.
Because the whole of Cloudflare had gone down.
Yes, I know. But I'm thinking I can't see my notes, so I've got no idea what I'm saying next. Has that meant that, you know, on a Friday afternoon I export everything? No! I'm still just trusting it'll be fine. Or I'll just have to make it up as I go along. Right, the documents can stay in their original and just be linked to or imported and still leaves the original in its home place, which is similar to how DevonThink works, isn't it? You can index them, we can actually import them. So Kim wouldn't mind transferring them, but if it just went away and you had no way to access it, you'd be in a panic. I don't see that happening, touch wood. I believe the system could go down. I mean, if Cloudflare's down, then Notion are down. But I have known people who have made almighty messes in terms of deleting stuff. So they think they're deleting like a record, and before they know it, they've deleted a page and emptied the bin. If you actually look in the trash, all the pages you've deleted are in the trash. But somehow they've managed to empty the trash as well. Probably with a view to being like, can we make this ultra secure? I don't want to delete something that needs deleting and then find it in the trash. So they've gone into the trash and then they've emptied out some of the trash. They have been able to help them in terms of restoring them to a previous position. So I would say their systems look pretty robust, but it's as robust as any online system ever is. One of the reasons we moved from the system we had with OneNote was that OneNote has notebooks. So unlike Evernote, which has a single storage unit for everything, OneNote has the concept of notebooks, and we had a MacBytes notebook, and we were clipping stuff to it with the OneNote clipper. And I came to work on it. Now, Mike was working on Windows at work, so he could clip stuff to it at work. I came to open it and it was corrupt and there was no way I could get into it. Obviously, the backups were just as corrupt as that. And I'm thinking, why haven't we noticed this before, that this is corrupt? And the backups were corrupt. Now, the Mac version doesn't even do you a backup. So I tracked it down to being a corrupt one single character in one single page that was corrupt. And the way that I did that was it would open on Windows, but it would not open on a Mac. Now, there's an application called Outline, which I know sounds like an outliner, but it's not. It's a notebook app for Mac, and it will read OneNote files. They're called .one files. And that could open it. That was the only way we could get this thing opened on the Mac. And what I had to do was take out the pages. We didn't know which page had the problem. Take out the pages that could conceivably have had the problem and then be adding them back in one at a time. And that was the way we did it. But I said to Mike, can't be doing this. You know, this is not workable on a consistent basis. So can't be done. So we went for the system that we've now got. But, you know, that can happen. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just the Windows version, something that had been clipped, had a character in it that the Mac could not process, and the Mac refused point blank to open the file. Once we'd taken the pages out that contained this dodgy character, not that we ever found out which one it was fine. But, you know, that is just as catastrophic to a workflow as the company going bust because I can't open the file. But, oh yeah, Kim says you're so professional, we never know you had no notes. Talking of OneNote, shall I share that story? This was a classic.
The
training show.
The training show, yes. Yeah, why not?
We had this website a while back called the
Kim
Training Show.
Kim already says we're so professional. Well, you are.
We had this site. It was for training professionals. And we decided there was a new version of Microsoft Office. I think it was 2016. So it came out probably maybe a bit earlier than that. Let me think. Was it 2013? Whichever version it was. There was a completely new version of Microsoft Office. So we were on having one of our laughable holidays. Mum and Dad were away. We could do whatever we liked. So in the afternoon on Tuesday and Thursday, we decided we would put on a session all about the new version of Microsoft Office. So obviously we split the work down the middle. I think there were six applications. So obviously I was doing Word and I was doing PowerPoint. Mike was doing Excel. You must have done Outlook.
Probably.
Word, PowerPoint. I was doing OneNote and you were doing something else. What would that be?
Access.
Right. So that's how it went. We split the six subjects down the middle. Mike was doing Excel, Outlook and Access and I was doing Word, PowerPoint and OneNote. So bearing in mind, this is probably about 2015, something like that. I had used OneNote when it very first came out. I used the Alpha in 2001 and I absolutely loved it. But it had got binned in 2006 because there wasn't a version for the Mac. So I just gradually, you know, didn't use it anymore. So we'd got this session planned. I can't remember if it was session one or session two. It was probably session one. So on one of these sessions, I was doing two. So say I was doing Word and OneNote and Mike was doing Excel. And then the next session I was doing one and he was doing two. So picture the scene. I got my Word data together. Now, Word and PowerPoint and OneNote, they're not like the number one things that I train. But I planned to do something specific with Word, which I think involved a template. And PowerPoint, and I'm reasonable with PowerPoint. So part of my planning for all these sessions is I need a poster and I need the blurb and I need the email. So I'm busy doing all of the admin-y stuff. Picture the scene. It's now 10 to 2. And we're starting at 2. At which point I sit down and think, OK, there's my Word stuff. Are you ready, Mike? Mike's ready, fine. And Mike said, are you doing the OneNote thing at the beginning or the end? And I went, oh, is OneNote today? And he went, yeah. I went, I've not looked at it. So Mike said, since when? You know what you mean, you've not looked at it? And I said, I haven't looked at OneNote since 2006. This was 9 years later. I'd totally forgotten to do the prep for that. I'd done all of the Word prep. I'd done all of the PowerPoint prep. Totally forgot OneNote. It's 10 to 2. So I said, what running order did we say? And he said, 2 o'clock. I'm like, oh, I had 10 minutes. And obviously I had to get in about 2 minutes to make sure it was working. So I said, right, what do I know about OneNote? Mike's just looking at me like, it's too late to worry about that now. So I said, no. I said, I remember all about what OneNote did and the structure of it. And there was notebooks and there was pages. And I'm busy scribbling out diagrams and notes and stuff all in front of me. And then I said, now, the big thing is it's all online now. So these files, you used to, your OneNote file used to be a local file, but obviously it was all now wired in with OneDrive. So I had to sort OneDrive out as well. So they were mind maps. They were what looked like a scalpel diagram on the desk. It was probably about A3 size. And then I had like the notes down the side about the online thing. So 2 minutes two comes. Hello and welcome. Today we're talking about OneNote. And Mike's as white as a sheet. He's just looking at me like, this is not going to end well. Because 10 minutes ago, you'd forgotten you were talking about OneNote. I started. It was a total triumph, wasn't it, Mike?
It was.
Sometimes a constraint like that, you know, if that had been a video I was recording at 2 o'clock, I'd have been like, no, I'm going to have to take another 3 days. But it's a live audience and they're there at 2 o'clock. And I, at 2 o'clock, I have to talk about OneNote, whether I know what I'm talking about or not. And the thing is, a kind of, and I always say this when you're going live, a kind of, you can be paddling like fury, but you must never make the audience nervous. So no matter how nervous you are, like, oh dear, I've got no notes. Just carry on. Just keep talking. You can't make the audience nervous. That is the last thing that you can do. So no, the audience had absolutely, in fact, the only person who has known about that has been Mike. You are the first guys to find out about that. But a calmness came over me at 2 o'clock and I had the basic information that I needed and I had used it 9 years ago. And I did a demo of it. So there was a 25-minute demo. And at the end, Mike said, you were joking me, weren't you? And I went, no, I wasn't. But that kind of calmness just comes over you because, you know, panicking's not an answer. You can't do that. You've just got to carry on. But Mike and I will now say, oh, is it a OneNote thing? And I'll go, no, I know exactly what I'm talking about. So it never happened before and it's never happened since, but it did happen on that day. I just thought it was on the Thursday. I didn't take any notice. So I had nothing to work with at all. Nothing at all. That was the worst one. That was the worst one ever. But yeah, it did do that in the middle of an after hours. And well, what can you do? I mean, how would it be if I said, I'm sorry, I can't carry on. I've got no notes. You must have some clue what you were going to talk about, apart from if it was OneNote, obviously. And you do. You just have to carry on. So I did. That was a classic. What was really good about that was there was it was recorded. So I listened back that night after Mike had gone to bed. I listened back and I thought, you know, can I hear it in my voice that I knew that maybe I could have been more prepared? No, you couldn't. There are times when there are things going on here, like you're losing a connection or it's buffering or whatever. And Mike and I can tell from maybe the speed of delivery or you slightly, you can just tell from the voice there's something going on. You've got your mind on something else as well. But that day, no. If I'd have been listening to it, I would have thought I was well on the ball as well. So it's become known as a don't do a OneNote. Oh, absolute classic. Anyway, it's Thursday today, which means it's Two Show Friday, which means I've got lots of work to do. So I will head off and do lots of work. I hope you all have an amazing rest of the day. If you've got any ideas for suggestions that you want to see, etc. But at the moment, I'm thinking, Kim, of the bus. You were rather taken with how I visualise something and then draw it. So I'm thinking about the bus. Would the bus be a good thing to see with the pears? Now, I didn't draw the pears. I did colour the pears, but I did draw the bus. Did totally draw the bus. So that's my plan at the moment. Let me know in the chat. But for the moment, it is good night from me.
And it's good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.